This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing this week?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm gonna be okay. I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna make it, man. It's just this is a tough season. There's way too much going on, and there's a lot of difficulty in life right now. But you know what? We're doing okay. We're gonna make it.
Yeah. So obviously, elephant in the room. This is coming at folks a day late and a dollar short. But we are here and happy to present the content for you. As John David said, it's been a an interesting week in trying to get the recording schedule all hammered out, but you know what? We are here, and I think we got a pretty amazing show for y'all. So
it's gonna be fun. Yeah, it is gonna be a fun show.
All right, man. So it should be a lot of good. Before we do that, though, there is a little bit of housekeeping items we need to take care of. Last week we had the International Pipe Smoking Day special, which was a lot of fun to do. We talked about pipe smoking, Steve. We had, I mean, it was kind of a party, you know, with the listeners. We had some great fun and some wonderful letters that we read, and of course the Pipe Smoking Steve artwork competition. And we named a winner, Joe Marty. Now Joe, I think was fairly taken back by this. Now he seemed to be under the impression that we were going to have like an award ceremony. And you know, you and I, man, we aim to deliver. So we got on our tuxes and everything else, and so we want to make sure that he gets his due. However, he's written in his award speech, his acceptance speech. You want to read this real quick for Joe?
Yeah, I think you should.
So here we go. Here's what he said. Esteemed colleague, people often say it's an honor just to be nominated. That may be true, but from my new vantage point, winning is really where it's at. My word, I have so many people to thank before the music plays me off. But let me just say for now, thank you for all the support for my now award-winning art. My children are so proud of me. They didn't even kick my shins this afternoon, and my wife graciously allowed me to sleep indoors for one night on the couch. But still, I'm so happy to be chosen. Thank you. And again, that is from Joe Marty, award-winning artist, which is accurate.
Music playing him off, right?
Yeah, definitely playing him off. Definitely all the way off.
That's hilarious, man. Joe, man, we're just grateful you participated, dude. We loved your artwork. We thought it was epic. And yeah, I mean, epic in a sense.
Yeah, sure.
And now you were an award-winning artist, and that is something you can proudly proclaim.
Yeah, exactly. By all means, you can quote us on it. So Joe, thank you so much for that. And again, congratulations to everybody who was nominated. Y'all are awesome. You know, speaking of some awesome people, man, we got to give a shout out to the awesome people making the show happen at patreon.com/countrysquireradio.
Yeah.
We've got a number of new members joining
the Country Squire. Cool, man. We're so grateful.
That's right, man. Joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club at the Squire level, we've got Matt Askew.
I feel like I should askew
his name by saying Matt Ask Who, and ask him who we should ask, but I guess the answer is Matt. We also have Sean McHale.
Sean Michael. Thank you for joining, Sean Michael.
That's right. As well as Jacob Waldron of the North.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. See, I didn't mess up the name, but it sounds like Warden, and so it makes it more epic because it's Jacob Waldron of the North, right?
Oh, I was wondering what your angle was there.
Okay. Yeah, that was it. I had to get a little creative there. Also, man, we got a new pilgrim as well. Edward Olson, who is the third and lost Olson twin. Now, I know you'd think that would be a triplet, but no, he is actually the third of the Olson twins. He's just long lost. And that makes sense. And only Edward knows why. So thank you so much for your support of the show. Y'all are amazing.
It's quite a pedigree, you know. It really is a lineage, you know, that now we're blessed with on Country Squire Radio. So
it's true.
And to Matt, Sean, Jacob, and Edward, thank you so much for joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. So glad to have you. And man, we appreciate all those folks over at patreon.com/countrysquireradio.
That's right. All right. We've got a fun episode today, or at least I think it's fun. I think this is going to be fun. I don't know.
Because right, you're just going to learn. You're a student today, right?
Well, I am the eternal student. I am always the voice of the new pipe smoker. I am always the voice of the ignorant. And you are the wise, learned voice of the seasoned tobacconist who is always bringing that knowledge. And, you know, there is going to be some reveals, I think, that comes here, but it comes at no surprise. For longtime listeners of the show, people are aware of my ignorance. You know what I mean? Like, I get to mispronounce words. And you know, sometimes, every once in a while, we'll get that letter like, Bo, you do such a good job of feigning ignorance. There is no feign. No. I have the memory of a fruit fly. And so we've got longtime listeners who I still butcher their names. For new listeners that don't realize this, there's a reason I now try to intentionally butcher people's names. It's to try to hide the fact that I typically don't intentionally butcher people's names.
That's right. That's exactly right. So if you have an easy name, we want to make you feel part of the club.
Exactly. We want you to feel welcome by messing up your name. That's how we do that. But anyway, so this last best year, now every single year we do a best of in kind of the pipe world and industry, yeah, and that sort, yeah, of thing.
We've done it for the last. We talk about the Oscars with Joe Marty, but it kind of has become the poor man's Oscars for the pipe community, right?
Yeah. To be fair, this is the best of is really the Oscars. I would say the International Pipe Smoking Day Award or Art Pipe Smoking Steve Award is more like the Golden Globes, but I mean, still an award. I mean, like, he can claim that. You know what I mean? Like, he can definitely claim that. But,
No.
The best of is certainly the Oscars, to be sure. And you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's grown over the years, and people have really responded quite well. And you know, as something becomes more popular, John David, it not only attracts those that like get behind it and are really excited for it, but it also attracts the common I don't want to say troll, but. What's like a hair above a troll? Like, you know, a little bit more an ogre, maybe?
Not what? Someone that's enthusiastic.
Yeah, an orc. There you go. not necessarily a troll. Not somebody who's doing this to be mean, but somebody who's doing it to be a little trolly. All right, it's a troll. So it attracts the trolls, right? And one of the categories, of course, in fact, in all of our categories, we had a few people who just wrote in ridiculous entries,
fantastic. And of course we, you know, encourage ridiculousness because
I mean, yeah,
we are.
To an extent. It's like the seasoning. I wouldn't want it for the full meal, but yeah, no, a little bit of ridiculous is great. You can't 30 people writing in Brian Levine is a little much, but beyond that, when it came time for like pipe carver of the year, one name did come up quite a bit, and not Brian Levine, somebody who, up until this point, John David, I confess, I was unaware of their contributions to the pipe world. I was so taken back when this name came up because I was curious. I was like, you know, we talk about some major industry names. This person's name
and
is so
lost.
Prolific. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't, I was like, this is no Max Stokoby. I don't know who this, you know, like, this is not a name I know. This is no Eric Nording. Why do I not know this? I, John David, felt embarrassed for my lack of knowledge, and in my ignorance, I felt like this needed to be uncovered, and that is the esteemed and well known by anybody in the pipe world, pipe carver, that of Glenn. Now, to be clear, that's Glenn with a G L Y N.
Yeah, Glenn. Glenn. Right. How else would you spell Glenn? Right.
Well, I'm dyslexic, so I can't even answer that properly. Yes, Glenn Pipes, man. We're talking about Glenn Pipes this week. John David, who is Glenn?
Yeah, this is fantastic. I have been chomping at the bit to discuss this, and you know, for weeks now, we finally have done our homework enough to kind of circle the wagons and make sure we do this particular pipe carver justice. But we're going to talk a lot about art and art as a medium of emotion today.
Ooh, okay, all right. And, wow, this is getting a little deeper than I thought.
It's going to be something. But you know, have you ever beheld a work of art that you know, was so beautiful or maybe ahead of its time or even controversial or provoking that it evoked these extraordinary emotions in you. You know, you ever maybe been to an art gallery or an exhibit where, you know, you saw something so exquisitely beautiful or on the other end, abhorrent, you know, something that was just detestable to the senses that you walked away with this image kind of burned in your mind and your consciousness was left in a maybe a fog of beauty, this kind of sereneness, or maybe under a spell where you were just kind of repulsed to the point of you know, experiencing trauma, you know, something that just affected you, you know, to the core. Yeah. You know, gone to one of these you know, some place where you see these famous artists or whatever, and so such is the nature of Glenn Pipes.
Wow.
is the nature of Glenn Pipes. You know, let me just interrupt. Let me start all this off by saying I am not a pipe maker. I have never been a pipe maker. I do not aspire to be a pipe maker. I can only guess how difficult the modern pipe maker, you know, how difficult the experiences are of the modern pipe maker, thinking about selecting briar, you know, determining the shape, balancing personal taste with, you know, the smoker's sensibility and the marketability of a pipe, how quick it's going to sell, you know, wrestling with the quality of the material and the sourcing and all this, you know, this other stuff, developing a niche for yourself within the entire design world out there with pipes. And so, you know, I just want to go ahead and say that there's so much. I want to say I don't know. I get it. I get that I don't get it. I'm not a pipe maker.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What you're about to say is you are about to step in as a critic of a space that you have no right, you know, at least no internal right critiquing.
No, that's right. That's right. And some people in the pipe world have kind of made their name on that. They're not pipe makers, but they're pipe critics. They're pipe consumers, and maybe they only consume high end pipes, and so they have a lot to say about. You know, if you go to some of these you know, pipe shows, you'll meet these people who you know, are kind of known as the pipe critics, and they, you know, have a lot to say about someone's button work or someone's stem work or you know, materials they put on the shank cap or any of this kind of stuff. So anyway, I don't want to come across as that, but also just, you know, I don't know. I'm not a pipe maker. So enter Glenn Morris Pipes. Several years ago, these rough hewn pipes started appearing on eBay. And when I say rough hewn, I want to try to describe this adequately. You've got these blocks of wood, it's presumably briar, that were incredibly rustic, and they would pop up occasionally, these large, bold chunks of briar, generally unfinished looking, featuring harsh angles, misaligned drilling, you know, while being paired with ill-fitting pre-made vulcanite stems that still, you know, sported the seam lines from where the rubber was poured into the production mold. And I mean, just very, very rustic.
Okay.
And the pipes were charming. They were charming pipes, and they were expensive for what they were, and they were all marked Glyn, Glyn.
Huh.
And so we've all seen pipes out there, right? That, you know, have had this kind of you know, well, that's charming, or, you know, that's kind of you know, a nice artisan pipe that's, you know, you know, a local craftsman would make, and, you know, but you think, well, is that something I really want to pay $65, $70, $80, $100 for, that type of thing? And so it'd be easy to pass these kind of pipes by. And you know, the advent of online forums and Facebook groups where pipe smokers could gather, but also engage in merciless critique of pipe makers.
Right.
And tobacconists, for that matter, and tobacco.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not like you're not free of criticism yourself.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, it's like these, you know, the trolls have these forums now, and it's like, well, you know, we're it's like the pipe locker room. You know, we're going to get together and we're just going to drag these pipe makers through the mud. And so you get these interesting, charming Glenn pipes that are out that have these misaligned drills and the pre-made vulcanite stems that don't fit and all these other things. And so and you know, at the price points they're worth, they just kind of evoke you know, a discussion.
a certain glenness. All right, wait, hang on. Back up just a quick second, because you mentioned that they were the pipes were marked with you know, GLYN. Was that an acronym?
We believe Glenn is actually a person. We believe Glenn is actually a person. We believe his name is Glenn Morris, and we don't have a lot of understanding about why that is. Apparently, he was from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and some little details eventually would pop up on some, you know, some of the listings that you would find. But honestly, we don't. Glenn has been absent from the pipe community. We don't know who Glenn is.
Wow. I mean, like, is there a shame?
Yep. Well,
did pipe culture cancel him?
Did he get pipe culture canceled? I don't know. You know, Glenn Pipes were, and they are, because of this, a mystery. Who is Glenn? Right. Where did he come from? Is it a they? Does he still make pipes? You know, what got him into the hobby, you know, all these kind of things. The answers have been in short supply over the years. And so, you know, eventually these listings popped up featuring, you know, a little more detail. Like I mentioned, you had this, you know, artisan Glenn from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Occasionally they'd pop in his last name, which supposedly was Morris. You know, or occasionally they would mention, you know, the pipe carver from the 1970s. There's even, if you go on Pipepedia, there's two pictures of a Glenn pipe on there, and it mentions something from the 1970s. You know, it seemed to make some sense, this Cape Cod thing. A lot of his, you know, pipes would feature these very rustic images, maybe of a kind of a nautical theme. They would have maybe a little etching of a sailboat or a fish or even a seagull, something of that nature. And so, you know, that's pretty much all we got. That's pretty much all we had on Glenn and Glenn pipes. It was, you know, just these pipes that were rough hewn and right angles and not necessarily lined up appropriately. But you'd find them in, you know, pretty regularly on you know, the various shopping places where you would buy pipes online. And so that's really all we had. And it was just kind of interesting until the internet had its say.
Right.
And that is always what happens. So Glenn pipes became a thing. And one of the original, frankly, one of the original pipe memes was born. You know, it's interesting. We think about, I mean, stepping in, we're talking about these pipes and they're, you know, interesting and, you know, maybe a little rough around the edges, but it became a thing. And this was kind of early on in the pipe, you know, online community where, you know, things, you know, they gather all this momentum, and before you know it, people are, you know, it's the meme, right? It's that thing that, you know, folks kind of gather around. And so, and so now we're left with these pipes that are marked Glenn that we don't know much about, and they represent in the pipe community equal parts history and intrigue and mystery, humor, a lot of irony and confusion and satire and love, you know, love for pipe smoking you know, it's just really interesting. And so as forums would occasionally, you know, have fun at the expense of the up and coming pipe maker, you know, these novice pieces of art where, you know, were often compared to Glenn pipes. Well, oh, well, you know, new pipe maker, that's, you know, that's decent, but it's certainly no Glenn, you know. it's kind of where we'd go with that. So, you know, you could really take some cues from the master artisan Glenn, which, you know, this and this. And so, and of course, you know, folks were quick to take pictures of, you know, Glenn pipes that they'd seen online. And some of the most, you know, no holds bar, you know, references to this would be when the ostentatious or perhaps pompous pipe smoker would post his highly curated photos of their Dunhill collection or, you know, all their caviches and radiches and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and how, you know, trying to, you know, portray the sense of sophistication and all this. And then the pipe mob would come in and, you know, basically, you know, in essence, it channeled their inner sarcastic clown lying in wait that would be quick to showcase their superior collection of Glenn pipes, which, you know, would, you know, we'll take, you know, your Dunhills are beautiful and all their, you know, stems were cut from, you know, this Cumberland material that, you know, was blessed by Queen Elizabeth herself. But look at this Glen pipe, you know, it's got a, it's got a metal shank that still has a, you know, a bolt and washer connected to the end of it. It's just, it's exquisite.
It's like, bro, do you even Glen? Come on, man.
Yeah. Do you even Glen? Do you even Glen? So, man, folks would brag about the artisanship of their small batch pipes, but only to have their bets raised by these proud Glen enthusiasts, showcasing the superiority of their Glen pipes, their uncentered tobacco chambers, misaligned draft holes, external blemishes and pits, often, you know, as big as craters, ill-fitting stems, the pipe proportions that are often, you know, seen as undesirable or clumsy, stems that show manufacturing artifacts. I mean, it's just on and on, right?
Right. Wow.
And so it's just this beautiful thing. And so, again, this has kind of become this this thing within the pipe community. And then there are the lines. There are the lines that are featured on a Glen pipe. And when I say that, how do I describe the iconic lines of a Glen pipe? You know, with a normal rustication on pipes, a lot of times the carver will take some type of tool or implement to, you know, put these delicate or thoughtful divots in the side of a pipe in order to perhaps hide a flaw or, some type of design that would add a little texture to the exterior of the pipe. But the Glen rustication truly is... It's very notable. It's immediately recognizable. The normal rustication would be tiresome and uninspiring, but these lines, imagine if you will, running a garden rake through, you know, a patch of unadulterated sand. And yet you need to take the rake tines, the fork of the rake and bend half of them. And maybe grind a couple down, to stumps perhaps, and then
a well-loved rake.
A well-loved rake, one that's been used and maybe got caught in the lawnmower a time or two. And, then with the sand, you know, maybe how it was unadulterated, well, maybe adulterated a little.
Right.
Throw some pebbles in, you know, do it. And for good measure, maybe just do it while you're drunk, you know? So the Glen pipe texturizing method is born. So you have this interesting exterior to these meme pipes that come along. So you can imagine with the advent of social media, right? You've got these pipes that have all these charming features to them that we're describing. Again, not coming from a pipe maker, I'm sure Mr. Glen or Mrs. Glen, wherever you are, would make a much superior pipe to mine. But, you know, imagine with social media, the positive feedback loop that happens when you get in these echo chambers of the internet, right? Uh-huh. And so the story of Glen became, what tales do nowadays. It went off the rails, right? Glen, the Glen lore was born. We have stories about Glen, his craft, his character, stories about the feats that he went through as a young man, as a pipe maker, as a hero from his geography, this very lofty individual that we frankly don't know much about. And so
kind of a Paul Bunyan-esque type
exactly.
of tall tale.
That's exactly right. Do you want to read? We've got several folks to kind of comment on this. Do you want to read? The first one comes from Mark VV, his comments after he bought several Glen pipe bowls.
Okay. Well, you know, Mark VV is not one to be outdone when it comes to a pipe collection. So let's see what Mark had to say. These pipe bowls, they honestly defy characterization. The jagged rustication imparted upon these pipe bowls with such specific and intentful skill is like none other. Ardor, Costello, Dunhill, all the big names could learn a thing or two from the carver. There is, dare I say, a charm about these specimens. They lack refinement, but I say that adds to the character of the Glen pipe bowl. Pits and blemishes are left in full view. Chunks of briar are simply cut off and odd angles, giving the whole aesthetic an obtuse appearance, an abstract appearance, much like if Picasso were a woodcarver. Wow. Wow, that's beautiful right there. I can see what you're saying. Art.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to encapture, you know, the essence of the Glen pipe. You know,
right,
our friend Luis Mazura, longtime listener, we've had him on the show before. You know, he builds on the lore of the Glen pipe. Lane sold Sheraton after learning that the up and clumber Glen Morris was getting into pipe making, and they knew that, you know, they'd never truly be able to compete with his prowess, you know. Lloyd Lindley writes, in the early 1970s, Glen developed the classic From Another Era line of pipes. Now, these pipes may look rugged, rough, and even a burden to the eyes, but they are meticulously crafted from the highest quality Algerian briar using tools that are truly from another era.
Wow.
You know, the community began to make much of this, you know, Glen's signature line of rustication, right? Read what Jeremy has to say.
All right, this is what Jeremy's got. He says, the beaver rustification method was born. Jeremy, oh man. you're going to have to help me with his name, though.
Yeah, Jeremy Feliciano.
Okay. Jeremy reports, the rustic beaver form is a style in which one must quite literally trap and train a wild beaver to rough cut a pipe stumble without getting too carried away, of course. Think of it like falconry, but teaching a falcon to make art. It's incredibly time intensive and takes years to build that kind of trusting relationship with a beaver. Wow. I mean, I never knew, John. Hey, David, I never knew.
Yeah, and so the legend, you know, this understanding of the beaver rustication method, where, you know, forget the rake with the broken tines and the you know, adulterated sand. We've got story now about how this happens, and it's
trained beavers,
and it's the trained beavers that are found. Lindley, who we talked about earlier, also writes, legends say that Glen fashioned a special drill bit from an actual beaver tooth, resulting in a perfectly shaped chamber that is rough cut, allowing for a cake layer to form easier and stronger inside the bowl. And so for the primitive rustication...
Intentionally, wow. Yeah.
It's all intentional. See, for the primitive rustication, he had quite the unique approach that cannot be replicated. He would leave the pipe stumbles leaning against a pine tree near a small stream or his workshop for the beavers to gnaw on as the tree... as they fell a tree. And so the next morning, Glen retrieves these perfectly rusticated stummels, ready to be fit with the perfect stem. And so there you have it. Folks, you know, continued building upon this to opine about the level of artistry seen in Glen pipes. Tobacconist Caitlin Mills, she writes, you know, look, if we're going to talk about Glen pipes, then we have to start with his ability to source materials before we even discuss the craftsmanship. I mean, other so-called pipe makers don't have the cojones to even go out in the wilderness and source their own genuine beaver-chewed logs. I mean, the time and effort to get material is staggering, and that's before he delicately crafts each pipe into the majestic unicorn of splendor. And
wow.
So, you know, it's just really... you know, the epic sense in which, you know, the effort he went to source these materials. Rob Forbes chimes in. You want to read what Rob has to say?
Yeah, Rob says, think the 100% beaver production method may be fictional. Oh, okay, Rob is challenging this. He says he thinks that the 100% beaver production method may be fictional. However, he recently purchased several Glen Briars that were available online and states... The mortise and draft hole were not sure what the chambers were drilled with. Trained termites? Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's so, quite the feat.
Yeah. So maybe you know, augmenting the skill and the effort of the beaver is the humble termite, you know,
right,
associated with that. And so Glen is as you know, we think of the artistry that comes with falconry and beaver training, you know, maybe there's a place for the humble termite along with this too.
I'm starting to see like Glen is something of like an Aquaman, but instead of fish, just various, you know, creatures that have connection with wood.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. And really, he's the whisperer of all this, right? James Smith writes of Glenn, of his sound fundamentals. He says, Glenn's off-center drilling actually makes for a cooler smoke. It's something to do with aerodynamics, according to my engineer friend, but I'm not a scientist, so I can't tell you much more. Also regarding the beaver rustication, there's an enzyme in beaver saliva that reacts with the briar that acts as a, that has a curing effect upon the pipe. And so see, you realize on and on that, you know, the master of the media itself and the animal kingdom coming to bear upon these pipes, it's really quite fascinating. You know, with all this expertise and the commentary on Glenn pipes that are out there, the community became excited, and a Glenn Briar became in high demand. Now, this is real. Okay,
I'm, so I was about to say, like, I'm getting right. so confused right now. Like, I keep on hearing different things. I'm like, that's not true.
See, this is what happens when you talk about Glenn pipes. It fades in and out of this fog of either reality, but also mystery and satire and you know, a real pipe maker somewhere. This is all just the story of Glenn. And so
sure, no, the myth became legend, and the legend became man, and the man became flesh. And anyway, yeah. So what? I'm, all right. So what you're about to say, though, we can actually take as
this is real. So
this
with
is real.
All this,
okay.
All this stuff we've mentioned, okay, so far in this expose of Glenn pipes, because of all this stuff we've mentioned, the pipes themselves became in high demand, and all of a sudden, you know, in 2018, the price of a Glenn Briar quadrupled on eBay. That's real. That really happened.
That's insane.
Because
that's like the GameStop thing.
it is just like GameStop, man. It's just like it. And so there was a real true market for these Glenn pipes. It was amazing. And so folks were hot for these things. The more rustic, you know, and the more quote unquote charming, the better. You know, the real gems were the premium ones that really had those harsh right angles, the crooked stems, the right. you know, deep beaver scoring inside and on the outside of the bowl, uneven stains that would come off on your hand, gaping holes in the side, pipes goodness. That were clearly unfinished. Right. They all went for mint. You know, these pipes were just, they were selling for mint, and there was a rush on this you know, these Glenn pipes. And what was amazing out of all this is, because of the enthusiasm, Glenn came out of retirement.
No.
and this is, again, this is real. Okay,
I don't his know pipe, what is and isn't anymore.
exactly. You're welcome to the Glenn fog.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, his the pipes that. That were marked Glenn, there were new pipes on the market. And so he seemingly came out of retirement. His pipes were worth a fortune. And so obviously it's time to make more.
Oh my
and so
gosh.
this has really happened. Someone out there was making pipes with the name Glenn on them to capitalize on the popularity. Was it Glenn? Who knows? But this really happened. The artist doubled down on the signature craftsmanship of a Glenn pipe, all the things that we had mentioned before. And so was it really Glenn? We may never know. But this is the story of Glenn pipes, the artisan pipes that are veiled in real mystery, but also embraced by a loving fan base. And so, you know, his legacy is clear. It's interesting. Our friend Jeremy goes on to say, anyone can spin a lathe and make a pipe. Heck, there's literally a YouTube video of a monkey making a pipe on a lathe. But Mr. Glenn, wow. He is the ultimate pipe making bad A, a true aficionado. If you put a Glenn pipe side by side with a Tom Eltang and told me I could only choose one, I would pick up a Missouri Meerschaum, because I would be unworthy of a Glenn pipe. This is kind of where this has gone, right? I mean, yeah. It really has. It's just awesome. It's the internet, and it just it's just beautiful. Mark VV elaborates upon his experience. The influence that Glenn has had over the wider pipe community is clear. He or she clearly has no shame or hesitation about putting forth challenging pieces of art. There, I said it, art. Conversations happen almost immediately as I pull out a Glenn pipe, mostly about the lack of stems. But alas, that's another challenge that Glenn has imparted on the pipe making community.
Yeah, figure it out yourself.
Yeah, you want a stem? Well, go make your own stem.
Go make your own stem. That's a challenge.
Have a stem to smoke a pipe. Yeah. And he goes on to say, stems be damned. When I get some lovingly crafted, I'll get to smoke these pipes with them. But until then, I'll smoke them unreservedly. I'm sure they will smoke. Time will tell. Going on, perhaps no one encapsulates the story of Glenn Morris better than James Smith, who we referenced earlier, who said eloquently, he eloquently muses about the significance of the master and his work. Quote, in the pipe community, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, are used to designate the comprehensiveness of Glenn, implying that Glenn pipes include all that can be in a smoking pipe. In other words, they are the definitive pipe in all respects.
Wow.
The pipe that all other pipe makers must aspire to, despite knowing that there is no degree of perfection greater than this, and that their efforts are thus ultimately doomed to futility. Glenn pipes, therefore, signify both the birth and death of pipe making.
Wow.
It's just, you know, there's just a significance there that you can't unsee.
Amazing.
And so this is the reality of, you know, you've got this meme pipe maker that, you know, it's a pipe that, you know, in all reality, probably someone that, you know, is much more talented than me, but, you know, maybe is, you know, he's no, again, Tom Eltang or, you know, Jeff Grasek or whoever who, you know, is making these pipes, and they show up on the internet for sale at maybe a price that, that, you know, most people in the pipe community would not be willing to pay for said pipe. And so, this kind of becomes a thing, and it gets a mind of its own, and the lore is created, and it becomes even a commercial thing where people are, you know, vying for these things and outbidding each other on eBay. And it's just bizarre, and it's real.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. All right. So all right. Question is, how do I say? All right. So the first appearance of the OG Glenn pipes was circa what year, you said?
Well, they first started getting, I'm not positive, but they first started getting popular on, you know, forums as far as something that was shared about, you know, 7 or 8 years ago.
And right.
This was something that would just kind of pop up occasionally here and there. And then the real heyday started happening, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago where you
Well, so here's my question. Here's really what I'm asking. Is it possible that these Glenn pipes predate us? Like, is it possible that the original like inspiration that Glenn is it possible that Glenn's like hasn't been with us for 100 years?
That's the thing, that like these are real, like someone made these pipes and then put them in his or her name is Glenn,
right?
And then put them out on the internet to sell. Or perhaps this person made a bunch of pipes that one of the places online says that they were made in the 70s, and so, you know, these pipes were made, and then and then folks had maybe some Glenn pipes that were sitting around, and so they put them up for sale once the internet became a thing and pipe selling on eBay became a thing. And so you had all these 1970s Glenn pipes for sale. And, okay. You know, Glenn may have been, is someone that was deceased years ago. You know, there's no telling. By the way, there is a Glenn, if you Google Glenn Morris pipes,
right?
What's awesome about this is there's a bagpiper named Glenn Morris.
We don't know if he's not the real one, though.
Surely he's not. But
you don't know. John David.
No, I don't have a dog in the hunt. But like there is a Scottish man who plays bagpipes in Great Britain, and his name is Glenn Morris, and you can listen to his videos online. Is it Glenn?
Well, yeah.
You tell us.
No, I mean clearly.
Wait, maybe. Talk- Maybe Glenn can tell us, but
maybe not that Glenn. All right. So, this is fascinating because I was going to suggest that, you know, obviously, you have just educated us, those who are unaware of Glenn's contribution to the pipe, industry, community, and art form. And, you know, I was going to say, like, you know, hey, look, if Glenn needs to kind of come out of hiding and claim the throne that has rightfully been placed before him.
That's right.
What better place than Country Squire Radio? So I wanted to offer up an invitation to our dear brother Glenn.
And look, this will be a safe place for Glenn. You know, we want Glenn.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Like, again, I'm not a pipe maker. I've never been a pipe maker. I don't aspire to be one. Like the bowls and stem work that Glenn has accomplished are so much superior to anything I could ever produce.
Yeah.
And so we would love to have Glenn on the show and talk about his or her work
without fear, because as you say, this is a judgment plea place. And I mean, to prove that, I mean, we have had some of the most like despicable people on this show, but we have not given them a hard time. Brian Levine.
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Levine.
Yeah, we got Brian Levine. but at the same time, John David, we have also had some of the most celebrated and some of our favoritest, most wonderful people on the show, Brian Levine. So I'm just saying, like, the bar is as low as Brian Levine and as high as Brian Levine. And That's true. Glenn, like, not to make the argument that Glenn doesn't, you know, surpass one of those bars one way or the other. I'm just saying that we've got a range.
Brian Levine would say you and I actually surpassed the low bar.
Oh, 100%. Well, he would say we couldn't even reach it because we're so short.
Right.
That's exactly right.
I'll leave you with this. And you know, again, Glenn, if you're out there, we would love to 100%. Get to know you and have you engage with us and the greater pipe community. And it'd be a fantastic experience for all of us. I will leave you with this. In 1917, there was a great art exhibition in New York City, and there was the acclaimed French American Dadaist artist Henri Marcel Duchamp. He submitted a work to be judged in this exhibition, and he called it Fountain. Are you familiar with this, Bo?
Fountain? No, I don't think so.
Okay, it was called Fountain, like a water fountain, but just Fountain, right. And it simply was a urinal, and Duchamp submitted this urinal that he did not make. It was an industrial urinal. He turned it on its side, and then he submitted it as a piece of art for this exhibition. The Dadaists, I'm probably not even saying that right, but they, you know, their whole thing was absurdity and kind of going against the grain, and this is, you know, just ridiculousness. This is right after World War I, and so, you know, they're just basically throwing the world away, just, you know. And so he submitted this urinal that he didn't make for an art contest, and it was it was at the time and remains one of the most controversial and provoking pieces of art of the 20th century. This very well-known artist, he, you know, you imagine, okay, you've got, you know, Monet coming to this art, you know, exhibition, and then Monet unveils his, you know, entry into the contest, and it's a urinal.
right.
And so, you know, so when asked about this, he said, Duchamp said that his entry into the exhibition, this is my effort to shift the focus of the art from the physical craft to the interpretation. And so, you know, is this the nature of Glenn's work? We may never know.
But we'd love to.
But we'd love to. And so, So Glenn Pipes.
Pipes. Wow. Wow. What an education. You know, here I have been saying forever, we need more pipe lore. And look at me, the ignorant, you know, fool that I am. We've got quite extensive pipe lore.
So much.
So fascinating, man. I love uncovering these things and getting the education from you. You know, it's wild because obviously we have, you know, talked about and to some celebrated pipe carvers and crafters in the industry, those whom, you know, exist in the world of the real and who exist and whose work is out there and celebrated. And you know, it's interesting because I feel this weird sense at this moment, right now, this very moment, to make this transition to our good friends at Misery Meerschaum. But because Glenn can be taken in so many different ways, I don't know how to do so in the most respectful way. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to tell you that this show is made possible by our good friends at Misery Meerschaum. That's right. That's right. What? Not even like a smooth transition to reach. No, 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 no. I will not do that to Glenn, nor will I do that to Missouri Meerschaum. I'm just going to go straight corporate. Hey, this show is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum.
No, that's it. And
that's
you
what
know,
you got to do.
I was going to say, I mean, we, as much as we respect Missouri Meerschaum and other blue ribbon pipe brands like Dunhill and Cavici and, you know, Costello and all these other people that, yeah, they do a pretty good job. But, you know, they may not be a Glen, but I mean, but it is Missouri Meerschaum, you know, and so we do have a lot of respect for them and obviously the importance that they have on making our show happen. So check them out. They have a beautiful freehand corncob pipe that you can get straight from their website at corncobpipe.com. It's just a really interesting piece. It kind of has a jagged top, which simulates the root of the briar. But man, just a handsome pipe available at corncobpipe.com, and you can get it straight from the source at Missouri Meerschaum. So check it out. We hope you get one and smoke it, and we know you'll enjoy it.
That's right. And hey, if you are smoking one this week, be sure to take a photo of yourself doing so. Tweet it out to us. We love to retweet it out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. Quick fire questions.
Ow.
All right, man. Glenn took up so much of our time, we didn't have time for a question this week, but we got some good ones coming down the way. So for those of you who are thinking like, I've sent you a question, we've got a ton of questions. We're going to get to you, I promise. It's just a Glenn, man, he required some time.
He did. It could have been a two-parter, but we just didn't have that.
All right, man. Quick fire questions. This is coming in from DJS, and this is the What Would You Rather Drive edition. All right?
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Fire truck or bulldozer?
Bulldozer. I want to mess some stuff up.
Yeah. Bulldozer. I feel like bulldozer seems cooler, but I like speed. And I mean, there's nothing fast about a bulldozer. I go for a fire truck and be that kid again. You know,
it's got the ladder and, you know, those water hoses and all that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah,
all right.
That's fun. Yeah.
Plane or helicopter?
Plane. I've never had an affinity for helicopters. I don't really, I mean, I understand why people like them, I guess, but I want a plane.
Seems like helicopters far more maneuverable and you can kind of land anywhere, you know?
That's true.
I think practically speaking, I would like to ride in a helicopter, but if I'm driving it, plane seems like the easier thing to not die. So I'm going to go with plane. Spaceship or submarine?
10 times out of 10, spaceship. I want to go to space.
Way.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Underwater's cool, but no. Yeah, I've got to go to space.
Yep.
Space! And then speedboat or yacht?
Yacht. I would love a yacht.
So what would you rather drive, though, right? Because, I mean, like, you would be the one driving the... Everybody else would be partying on the yacht.
Yeah, it's still a yacht, I think. I think the yacht would be larger and therefore maybe a little easier to take, the wake of the sea. And so I'll go with the yacht.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm going to go with speedboat again just because, again, I like that speed. Yacht, and for similar reasons with the whole helicopter plane thing, I'd rather ride on the yacht, but I'd rather drive the speedboat. and then finally, hovercraft or jetpack?
Jetpack. I have a recurring dream. I have a few recurring dreams. These are, you know, just weird dreams that I have occasionally. And one of them is me using a jetpack. And I don't know where that came from or, you know, what that's about. But so I just feel that naturally I have to pick jetpack over hovercraft.
There you go. I mean, Rocket Man. Yes, I too would like a jetpack. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Be like The Rocketeer, which is a movie I saw when I was a kid and have not seen since. All right, there you go. Quickfire questions. Those are coming in from DJS. Thank you so much for those quickfire questions, DJ. And hey, if you've got some quickfire questions for us, send them in the show. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, this one is coming in from Michael Howarth. Yeah, Mikhail. What did Mikhail Howarth have to say?
Evening, gentlemen. Love the show and recently became a Squire member. Thank you, Michael, for that. I love the Squire Select episode with Redemption Rye and Heaven's Door. Though the part where Beau and John David started debating on whether or not Dylan recorded Knocking on Heaven's Door was quite amusing. There's another Pipe podcast out there that you might be aware of. I'm sure we are. And it seems that the host might have thrown a little shade at our Country Squire boys on this topic, but it's in the subtlest way possible. I won't give his name, but it rhymes with Ryan Ravine. On his show this week, he played the original recording of Knocking on Heaven's Door by Dylan. If you never listen to Brian's show, which you should, as an aside.
You absolutely should.
Brian plays music on each show. It's kind of an integral part of his show. It's really neat because it just shows... exposes listeners to, you know, different types of music, but also, you know, is really kind of a peek inside Brian's musical tastes, which are very eclectic. It's really, really kind of neat. But anyway, going on, Michael says, on his show this week, he played the original recording of Knocking on Heaven's Door by Dylan, and I can only imagine that Ryan was sitting back the entire time grinning to himself about how clever he is. And you know that is true. I know the rivalry is very friendly between us and Ryan, or the Country Squire and Ryan, but I hope you won't let him get away with this subtle jab. Maybe have John David send him a new blend, but add the tiniest bit of Latakia to it to make him swear on the air that he just loves, and then make him swear on the air that he just loves it. Or just state that Goofy is the mastermind behind all things good at Disney. Either way, I would love listening. I love listening to the two guys from my home state. I moved away 21 years ago and extol the great pleasures of the leaf. Keep it up. Happy puffing. And that's from Michael Howarth. Michael, number one, thank you. Number two, awesome to know you're a fellow legacy Mississippian. Number three, whoever this Ryan Ravine is, he's on our radar.
No, I think I've heard of him. No, listen, man, I love it. Friendly rivalry is a great way to put it. We absolutely a friend, especially emphasis on the friendly, like, the Pipes Magazine Radio Show, great podcast. If you've not checked it out, we absolutely recommend it. Brian, there is probably fewer people out there that we love to trade jabs with than Brian Levine, because they are always,
but you know,
like respectful and on point. But you know what I mean? Like, this just
Michael has a point though. When Brian selected Knocking on Heaven's Door,
come on, we know what's up
for that week's show. You know, like Ryan, how does he say it? Ryan says, he can only imagine that Ryan was sitting back the entire time grinning to himself about how clever he is. Now, that's exactly what Brian did.
This is the thing. Ryan is clearly a clever person, and nobody knows that more than himself. So that is exactly what happened. No, man, absolutely great. Thanks so much for sharing that, Howarth. We really appreciate it. Man, we also got one in from Gene Boker or Bocker, who said, have you guys ever done any show on blending at home? After attending my class with Max Stokeby at my local brick and mortar, I've been playing around some. I think it would be interesting to know John David's recommendations on bulk. To use different key elements, I'm smoking some Bowser's Castle this morning, which I jarred back when I restarted pipe smoking in 2017. I'd forgotten how good it is. And again, that's from Gene. Man, back in the day, we had a very short-lived series about home blending. We had a special episode, and then we did kind of a series about kind of making a custom blend on the podcast. And I kind of fizzled a little bit. But I mean, it's a topic worth revisiting. If y'all think it's worth revisiting, then I think we're open to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have talked about home blending some in the past, but Man, some great things. I think what Gene is, you know, kind of specifically asking is like, hey, are there, you know, recommendations for the specific bulk tobaccos that you might use for these key elements in blending?
Yeah.
So yeah, that might be something we'll revisit, but, I always encourage people to, you know, get in the kitchen at home with their pipe tobaccos that they have, you know, available to them and, man, make something up. That's where the fun of all this, really comes in. And, you know, you can take your pipe smoking experience to a new level just by creating your own recipes. And it doesn't have to be with raw ingredients. It can be from, you know, tobacco blends that are already out there, even from your favorite brick and mortar store all the way to your favorite Cornell and Deal tin or whatever it is. So just dive in and have fun. We need to talk about it more on the air.
Absolutely. Well, hey, great listener feedback. And guys, if y'all have got some for us, of course, you can send in the show at countrysquireradio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week at Squire Radio on Twitter. Of course, John David is at John David Cole on Twitter and at _CountrySquire is the shop's handle. All that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this one did come out a little bit late this week, but that's not going to be the case for the coming weeks because we got some fun shows on the way. We got kind of a little bit of a surprise headed your way very, very soon. I don't want to jinx it because we've been trying to do some stuff for like the last couple of weeks.
I know,
like,
right?
Nature and everything else just keeps on throwing us off. But regardless, these next couple episodes are going to be super special, and we're looking forward to getting them out to you on time. It's going to be great. Well, John David, man, this was a great episode to learn a bit about our folklore, our hero, a legend, and a statesman,
master pipe
perhaps.
Maker.
We don't, yeah. Master pipe maker, perhaps a statue made of briar should be carved in this man's honor.
Yeah,
with decor and with all of the various scratches and rustication that it would entail.
The signature beaver rustication.
Get tame the wild beavers to get right in there and carve out this the briar statue. Get intricate with the termites to make sure that at every single level, the statue represents. The man, the myth, the woman, who knows? The person.
Of Glenn.
The being? It is Glenn. All right, man. That's going to do it for us. Let's go over there.
See you, brother.
To book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.